Contrary to popular sayings, you are not your body. Your body will conform to your consciousness. However, so you must watch what you think. You must guard your feelings. If you do not, you will find you are trapped in a superficial existence. The good news is that you can free yourself at any time. Let's talk about how this trap takes place in the first place. The very first time it appears is in Genesis 2. And Adam and Eve were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he ate. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself. Who is that serpent? Who is more subtle than any beast of the field? None other than our superficial self. Look at what our superficial self is worried about. Self-consciousness, your eyes shall be open. Power, ye shall be as gods. Choosing things to please us or to avoid from fear. In other words, good versus evil. Fear of death, wanting to remain self-existent. Ye shall not surely die. Pleasure, it was pleasant to the eyes. Appetite, good for food. Desire to be smart, make one wise. These are all things of the superficial self. These are all things that the superficial self is concerned about. And once we feel, Eve, that we want something for our bodies, our superficial self, then our thoughts, Adam, eat of it, and takes in also the belief that we should want something for our bodies to nurture this superficial sense of self. And then that sense of self comes alive, and now we know we are naked, meaning other people can see things about us as we are, and we want to clothe that up. We want to mask that. We want to mask who and what we think we are. We want to mask who and what we think is not going to be pleasing to somebody else. Or we want to focus on how others are perceiving us. The next thing the superficial self does, after it has dressed itself up, focused on appearances of perceptions or perceptions of appearance, well, then it hides. It wants to hide from the true divine nature, afraid of the ultimate judgment. Now we know we cannot fool everyone. And now we fear that we will be found out. So we hide. We hide our true nature as well as our superficial self. You see, that self has now tricked us into believing a whole world of beliefs, worldly beliefs, untruths, deceptions. The great masquerade party begins. And it continues right on in our conscious mind. And then is passed on to our children and our children's children. And the next thing you know, we have formed a belief. And we don't even know what the source is. Reminds me of an old wives' tale that has come up through the coaching and personal development industry. And it goes something like this. A woman was one day preparing a pot roast for Sunday dinner, and her daughter comes up and says, "Why do you slice off the ends of each of that pot roast?" And the mother says, "Why, that's the way you do it. That's the way you prepare a roast. That's the way my mother taught me, and that's the way her mother's mother taught her. This is just the way to do it." And the daughter grew up believing that that was the way too. She got married, had a family, started making pot roast on Sunday. A lot of people eat a lot of pot roast in this personal development field. And she slices off the ends too. Now, at some point, her grandmother had become very ill, and the granddaughter went to visit her from time to time in the hospital. And they got talking about this and that. And she said, "Why did you prepare the pot roast by slicing off the ends?" Well, the grandmother says, "It's simple. When I was cooking in those days, the pot was too small to handle the roast, so I was slicing it to fit the pan." You see, a belief had been formed. The belief was to prepare a pot roast properly, you had to slice off the ends, whereas the truth was that was merely an expedient thing that one person did at one point in their lives, but it was not a necessary step at all. The superficial self lives and thrives and develops in that exact same way. A lie or an expedient rule appears. It's acted upon, and then it's passed on through the generations. Lord knows what kinds of crazy ideas about yourself are buried deep down in your subconscious mind. And if you could unearth them, why, they would prove themselves to be not only untrue, but just as silly as the pot roast story. Another place that this shows up is in our relationship with money. I'll bet you didn't know you could have a relationship with money. Well, it's not the money really, but the idea of money. What it means and how you earn it and how you spend it. These ideas are formed for you at an early age. There's a gentleman named Ken Honda, like the car, who wrote a book called Happy Money. In that book, he states that your relationship with money is important. Do you earn it with a job you hate? If so, you are probably resentful of every dollar you have to spend. Do you earn it freely by doing something you love? Then you probably have an abundance mindset. And don't worry about being generous. As you know, just doing what you love, more money is just going to flow through to you. Now, Honda posits that our idea or relationship with money, if you will, is directly impacted by our subconscious mind. That mind is formed not only by the thoughts and ideas and feelings of our parents, but also by our grandparents as well. Dr. Thurman Fleet, a chiropractor in the 1930s, developed his concept theory of healing in that he recognized if you could reprogram what was contained in the subconscious mind, the mind formed and existing from the beginning, that you could bring about great healing. The story goes that our subconscious mind is filled with all sorts of messages from our parents until we are around age 5 or so. It is this that our programming relies upon and forms from. And whatever we take in through our thought later in life is governed by this filter or programming that's already there in our subconscious mind. And it manifests through our actions into our bodies and then affects what we produce. And then what we produce, we see, and we process that through our seeing mind, again, through the filter of the pattern in our subconsciousness. If the world is thought to be a good place, we see more good. If the thought is if the world is thought to be an evil place, well, we see more evil. But if we want to change, well, then we must destroy, if you will, the superficial self, because that's the programming that is in our subconscious mind. It is developed over years, handed down to us through a thought and action pattern. We go back to the Bible. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. You see, our superficial self will name things, and then that is how they remain. If we are to change this pattern, then we must, as Paul says, die daily. And that we is the superficial self that thinks it is in charge, because it has been in charge, so much so that it is being programmed or run, if you will, by the subconscious programming implanted in us from the beginning. Let's see what Paul has to say. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This notion of dying daily, this notion of being absent from the body, this is Paul's way of expressing the removal of the superficial self and the desire to abandon it. As that superficial self begins to disappear, as we worry less about money, clothes, retirement funds, we begin to notice changes. The first thing we will find is we have more energy. We are alive, alive with energy of the universe. Nikola Tesla, the famous inventor, the man who made the modern electricity possible, alternating current, has this to say about increasing energy. He says that we must increase either our mass, but by eating nutritious foods, or reducing resistance, in other words, bringing peace and harmony to the situation, and work, the forward force movement. His trinity was food, peace, and work. We are to focus on finding and acting from our spiritual selves, for we are mindful of what we eat, that is, from the tree of life, not from the tree of good and evil. We resist not, as Jesus would say. Rather, we allow what is to be, what will be, and do not try to fight against the tide of the life force. And finally, the type of work we should be doing, well, that's the Father's work. I work, and the Father work also. Tesla's food, peace, work trinity is similar to the divine science trinity, creator, creative activity, and creation. Acting from this trinity, we are best able to abandon the superficial self. Our founders wrote that we should stop going along with worldly thoughts, writing, "The general thinking of man has run riot. It has been uncontrolled. Man has not known that he needed a fixed basis for his thinking." We too need a principle that is never failing and is always the same. And in the chapter, "The Work of Thought in Divine Science, Its Principle and Practice," Ms. Brooks and Ms. James had this to say: "It is the work of thought to look within, together from within, to be illumined from within. Then does it become the outlet for divine fullness. Just as the branches of the tree draw from the tree all the life and substance that is to make good fruit. And further, I precede my thought. Therefore, I cannot be the result of my thought. The thought has power to express the self, but not to make it. What I am cannot change." This is what distinguishes divine science from a general power of positive thinking movement. That movement would say, if you think it, you can make it so. We say in divine science, if you think the God thought, God will make it so. "What I am cannot change. It waits forever upon recognition." Jesus declared this real self when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This divine nature is a universal presence, saying, "Lo, I am with you always." As soon as we recognize it, it is our glory. And then we shall have true control, which is doing as the Father does, being the way and demonstrating the God self. Now we can spot the superficial self. It's easy to spot. It is the result of our thinking and our plans from a human nature. For example, the superficial self is our job or profession. It resulted from us going to school, finding a job, and showing up, and letting that job define who we are. Along the way in that job, we may face obstacles. They waylay us and add further definition to the superficial self-identity. What an energy drain it must be and is to live from the standpoint of the ego or superficial self. And now even the best laid plans face obstacles. And that's why we should offer up no resistance. When an obstacle appears, don't resist it. Resist not evil. That is why we should take no thought for what we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal we shall be clothed. When we base our thinking in that regard, we are banished from Eden, from that sense of peace. Because we are not at peace. Our energy is being depleted, all in the name of having a few trinkets or a reputation in the world. When we can stop obsessing over material conditions, then we can begin to get on or continue our way on our spiritual journey. If you want to change and live a more energetic and free life, you must abandon the old man. You must stop the old ways of thinking. You must escape from the superficial self. To do this, you need a complete rehaul of your subconscious mind. The good news is we are not alone in this. We can start anytime. We can start right now. And the results will become palpable. Turn your thoughts within to God. And in God, all things you need to change your life will be possible. We should take a few moments now to rest and contemplate and make this lesson practical. Let's close our eyes. Take in a deep cleansing breath. And just relax. Do not worry about your life. Put aside thoughts of the errands you're about to undertake, the drive home, the grocery store, what you're going to do to occupy yourself later today. Put that all aside. That is not life. That's the superficial self calling out to you. Ignore it. Regard the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet they are fed. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has trouble enough of its own. Do not pay attention to material things. That will detract you from acting in your divine capacity. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold, that we should be called sons of God. Behold, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons and daughters of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, God, Christ consciousness, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him forward and former his. Praise him, all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto his name.
Go in peace, everyone, and have a blessed week.